Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I have made my triumphant return, I should say. Finally, Joe Kuzma has come back to the podcast, but I think it was only like one show. Am I right? I'm asking, of course, my usual cohort here, the guy that you've been hearing more of as I've been busy running around, you know, going to Steelers games and camp and everything else. But Mr. Brian E. Roach, my brother from another mother. What's going on, my friend?
Hi, Joseph. How are you?
Oh, don't you dare start with that stuff. You know, I do got to give some props for Tina stepping in, short notice and everything like that. And some condolences, as she had a death within her family. So, I know it's rare that people get to hear Tina on the show because we have so many different personalities and people rotate in and out, of course, and we're going to have even more than that. For those of you who are just jumping on board here and haven't been with us for a full season, sometimes we have a show every single day. So it all depends. There's some other folks that contribute as well that you may not have heard from if you especially a new subscriber like over on YouTube where, you know, there's been a lot of chatter. But anyways, condolences to Tina and her family as well. And if you like what you heard from Tina, check out the website because she writes an awful lot of stuff. She has a few weekly features, including the usual is her quick yinzing that we have that happens like immediately after the game. You know, we're not necessarily looking at stats or anything or getting like full stories on stuff. It's just, boom, these are quick observations. You know what I mean? Even to the point where, you know, the Steelers started doing that. I think Labs actually does it like live during the game recently too. So it's like, I'm not that crazy. You know, I don't need to be doing it during the game. I mean, it sucks for him because it's like, you know, I guess like he doesn't have to do it all after where it's an awful lot. People don't understand like sometimes maybe the amount of work and time that we put in these things, but it's like doing it right after the game sometimes, that's some late nights, you know what I mean? And for a night game, or if you have to wait for stuff like you used to have to wait for like the Game Pass film for replay, if you didn't have it DVR'd, you had to wait until one time it was like until Wednesday if it was a Sunday game, then they moved it up a day, and now it's like, I guess, gonna be instant this year, which is pretty cool. But anyways, check out Tina's stuff there. She is very knowledgeable, and she's been doing this for a while, and if I said how long, she'd probably kill me because it would like tip the hat toward her age, so I'm not gonna do that. But she's very knowledgeable, has a lot of experience with it when it comes to sports and journalism, and definitely a great asset here with Steel City Underground. So I had to give her all of her props because, you know what, she probably doesn't realize how much we truly do appreciate her.
I would agree with all of those things. Certainly the condolences. And I've tweeted this out many times. If you don't read what she writes, you're missing out because we often kid in the back rooms that she's the smartest one of all of us.
That may be true. You know, she may be like the other professor.
Yeah.
Maybe the nutty professor.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. For sure. The nutty professor.
Yeah, definitely. We're all sort of personalities here. We're like one big family, and we're spread all over the country, too, which is kind of crazy as well. And it's just it's really good times. But we do, speaking of good times, we do have some more football. And this one may actually be a glimpse of actual real, you know, it's hard to say that the other stuff isn't real football. I think it's insulting to the guys playing their hearts out there. But I mean, we all know that like a lot of the guys are backups, second or third stringers, guys fighting to make the team. So now you get like a preview of, you know, the guys that make the millions. You know what I mean? You're going to have Big Ben Roethlisberger starting on Sunday against Tennessee Titans. Apparently this game is an NBC broadcast, 8:00, another national national televised preseason game, which is kind of cool. Have no idea how many series Ben's going to play. You know, I got to put my foot in my mouth over last week, Brian. We went up and down the roster and we're like, not going to play. And then like all these guys played. So, yeah. And we didn't know the Rudolph news ahead of time when we recorded. So, you know, we held off a little bit longer here just to make sure we pretty much knew 99% that Ben was going to probably play and stuff like that. So we made sure we got the news, but we didn't know Rudolph was going to start for sure. That was something we didn't have confirmed. And then as soon as, like, I think I hit publish, and within like 20 minutes, you know, that came out, and I had to send a message out on social media, on YouTube and stuff like that. So apologies if we wasted 15 minutes of your time, like, discrediting people and that, you know, sometimes the news isn't good. Just like, you know, Jay-Z being a part owner of the Steelers, you know, that's not true. And if you ever look at like some of the websites, like the actual name of the website or the links or something like that, if you go somewhere else on the internet, like somewhere that's, you know, credible, I know we're mostly like op-ed, so we're not putting out every little piece of news, because guess what? The Steelers do a good enough job of that. Just go to Steelers.com and look. They would announce something like that. Or on their Twitter, if it's a small little blurb, usually they put it on both, and you can find it there. And they're on other social media platforms and stuff like that, too. If not, then go to NFL.com or like ESPN, one of the big boys that cover these things, and you know, basically have somebody positioned in the parking lot 24/7 to make sure they get any little tidbit that they can. But anyways, that one is false, fake news. I believe was that Bob Labriola, or maybe it was Jerry Dulac, who squashed that just I think last night. So no Jay-Z. So whether or not you were happy or sad about that news, regardless, it's not news.
Yeah, I conveniently didn't pay attention to any of that.
I did. Well, it's hard for me, man, because I belong. I really shouldn't. There's too many people that, you know, I've followed back over the years, and including Facebook and stuff like that, various groups, and there's people who just it makes my head hurt sometimes. Some of the things that I see. I still see things about, like, whether, you know, oh, Mason Rudolph should start over Ben. He's the heir apparent. Hey, look, man. The guy, what do we got? Like, he's a second-year player who's only been playing in the preseason. I get it. He's looked pretty poised and sharp and improved, you know, over these last 2 weeks. I was just talking with one of our readers, one of our frequent readers, one of our favorite people, actually, Dave. And he left a comment. He was asking, like, why I did the, you know, I had to change the article from winners and losers to studs and duds, because people keep ripping our stuff off verbatim for the headline. Because you know why? Because people will look up our stuff and they want their stuff to show up with ours when you look it up on Google. And I'm like, sorry, it's not going to work that way. So studs and duds, why did I put Rudolph in the duds category? And I said, well, if somebody else wasn't doing the stock market type thing, I thought his stock just kind of went down a little bit because he had like five series, and only one of them was actually like a decent drive that ended in, what, a field goal?
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't through any fault of his own. There were a lot of drop pads. Juju like had three targets and didn't catch any of them. We saw Moncrief and Vance McDonald both fumble, and there was all kind of wacky stuff. Connor caught a ball, like, basically, you know, what do we say, in the sack? So in his crotch. In his crotch. That one was literally, you know, as described. And it was I don't know, was it Rudolph or was it that? So the only reason I had him in the duds thing is because it was like I couldn't necessarily put him in studs because I didn't think he was necessarily a stud. He was somewhere like in purgatory there compared to Josh Dobbs, who I didn't think did too bad either. His completion percentage has been pretty, you know, not impressive this preseason so far. And he didn't get the start. He did the week before, and it still wasn't, you know, I'd say above the line. And then the other guys come in, and they're playing with, you know, they're not playing with, like, anybody that's like basically veterans, you know what I mean, when you're getting into that third quarter or whatever. And I think that's the only reason I did that with Rudolph is like I felt both of them were somewhat underwhelming last week. And it's just like the eyeball test. It's like Rudolph came out week one and I was like, oh my God. And that's where everybody's like, OMG, it's like the second coming of Ben or something like that. And it's like, okay, let's pump our brakes here. And that's what Mike Tomlin said too. You know, he asked if there was any separation and he said, no, I understand he's not really. You ask him anything, it was like you ask him about Devin Bush, and he just says something like, well, we moved up to get him, so, you know, take that for what you will. And it's like, you know, very noncommittal. He doesn't like to blow smoke up anybody's rear end unless it's one of his top veteran guys like a Cam Hayward or Ben. And I think TJ is starting to get into that category. And you can tell he's always been in love with James Conner. So, but I mean, you know, he's very noncommittal with these things. And that's what I said. It's like, you know, when he says that type of thing, it's almost unfair to say it was a dud. It was just in the middle, but I don't have a middle category. It's studs and duds or duds. You got to be one or the other. So I guess Brian is, you know, looking at the quarterbacks this week, I think aside from Ben, we expect Ben to be Ben when we're looking at things to expect. But I got to see more from both of these guys. And, you know, especially I think Rudolph's in a prime position maybe to win the backup job if he has a good game and Dobbs just continues the status quo. Dobbs has got to step it up.
Yeah, after the last game, I was slightly critical of Mason Rudolph. And it's not that he was bad. It's that he didn't look as good as he did in the first game. So in that sense, it's kind of a regression. But now he's playing against conceivably ones, in the first couple series. So it sort of makes sense. This week, you know, it's still up in the air in my head how much work Ben's going to get. I certainly don't expect him to play the first half. He might play the first quarter. He might play a series and look so good that Tomlin goes, okay, enough of that. But in theory, these guys should get some work and play the bulk of at least the first quarter. That means there's a question as to whether or not we see anybody other than Ben, Mason, and Dobbs. And you're absolutely right. Dobbs, unlike last year where Dobbs really looked good in every game, he looked sharp, he looked accurate, he was making good decisions. And in some of those things, he's still doing fine. I think he's making good decisions. He only runs when it's really prudent to run. He's not using it as his go-to move. It feels like he's going down his progressions, but his accuracy isn't as good. And even on the nice balls that he throws, some of the nice balls he throws, the long balls, which he's had one each week to James Washington, he's still slightly undercutting him so that Washington's not catching those balls in stride. But that's, it's a tough pass to make. I think Mason Rudolph, in my mind, when Josh Dobbs threw the interception last week in the red zone, may have sealed in some ways Mason Rudolph getting the number two, unless he stinks it up the last 2 weeks. I just feel like it's one of those things. I mean, it's not the guy who he wanted to hit probably scores if he even gets the ball close to him, but it was such a bad throw, just got away from him that, that's the kind of thing, though, that makes a big shift in a coach's mind. Tomlin's never going to let that out of the bag, as you said. You know, he still needs these guys to compete as hotly as they can for the next couple weeks. So he's not going to, he's not going to move the needle in their minds at all until it's time to make that decision. We'll have to see how it goes. I would expect, you might be able to read something into who comes on the field after Ben. Is it Dobbs or is it Rudolph that comes in once Ben comes off? That may lean you to where, but it may not, because he may just go, right now Dobbs is the number two, so he's coming in second.
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to be a huge storyline, no matter who comes in next. I think if Devlin Hodges comes in after Ben, it's going to be a huge to-do. I mean,
yes,
it
would be.
It's not going to matter. It really doesn't matter. I'm like, for my pro wrestling peeps that are out there, I'm channeling like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock for some reason today, because that's like the third like catchphrase I've already said here. But it's a huge storyline. I mean, and we'll see how many series everyone gets. I imagine Ben gets like two or three. I guess it depends on the length of the drives or the quality of the work that's put in, I guess. I'm sounding like Tomlin, too. I'm channeling both of them, which is actually kind of cool. If I was like a mix of Mike Tomlin and The Rock, man, I'd be, I wouldn't be doing the show.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd be like a multimillionaire. But anyway, yeah, it's just the quality of the work, meaning like if they go out there, I think that's the reason why Rudolph had like five series last week. It was, what happened on the other ones? It was like, you know, three and out, five plays, like 17 yards or something. That was the things that made me feel duddish there, because I wanted to see something more of a drive. And I understand that, you know, there were penalties and other things of that nature, dropped passes and, you know, other things that are kind of out of his hands. It's just like everything looked like it stalled. And we've seen that happen with Ben in the regular season. I mean, not every drive isn't, this isn't Madden on like rookie level where you score like, you know, 75 yard plus drives and score a touchdown at the end and then get the 2-point conversion, you know what I mean? Right. Or you turned on player two and the controller's just sitting there like not doing anything. There's not anyone actually playing as the opponent. It doesn't work like that. So that's more or less, you know, where I'm coming from with that. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think the quarterback thing is one that everybody's really looking at. Speaking of another one that everyone's kind of looking at, the wide receivers really, really opened eyes. I think you kind of mentioned that. You know, talking about James Washington and some of the catches, these are the things that we saw at training camp. And, you know, we've seen it over the last 2 years, actually. But this year, man, I'm telling you, he looks like a step above. And so does Juju. But no one, you know, anyone who hasn't had the opportunity to see them practice hasn't seen the new Juju yet. And this may creep up and show reveal itself here, you know, on Sunday night's game with Ben playing. I want to say the same thing about Dante Moncrief, too. But hopefully, you know, I was worried he fumbled. I'm like, does he not have the grip? Is his hand, his finger or something still wrong there? I hope not, because he looked really like, you know, what would I want to say? A good compliment for Ben Roethlisberger. They looked like they were in sync. So it'd be nice, you know, with the starters, that's probably who you're going to see first, I think, from the wide receiver group. And speaking of wide receivers and wide receiver news, we were talking about Ray Sherman, who happened to just kind of be a consultant at camp. I think we mentioned this on the previous time me and you were together, Brian, on this show. And yep. He is now named interim receivers coach, which was kind of, you know, the guess at this point. And it's just, I guess it's fortunate that he was already there and kind of part of the process. And, you know, nobody knew if he wanted to do this, and it kind of maybe fell in his lap too. And I tell you what, if I'm like in that similar position, I mean, we've seen coaches like walk away for a couple years and come back to it. I mean, if it's your passion, you love to do it. Sometimes you maybe just want to recharge the batteries, or, you know, in this case, it's, you know, interim. Okay, I'll do it for this season and see how it goes. You know what I mean? So it's right. It's very fortunate, the circumstances, you know, surrounding, you know, the passing of Daryl Drake and everything like that, that Ray Sherman happened to be there. And I think he's going to be a great asset for all of the wide receivers in that room. But just finishing my thought here, we finally saw Deontay Johnson, and you may have thought the ref stunk the other night, Brian. I can't remember if you said it or not.
I did. They did, and I did.
My goodness. I think one was a touchdown and the other wasn't a touchdown. Oh, that's the way they called it, but maybe it was flipped around, or maybe both were touchdowns. I haven't a clue. Like I said, I don't know if I said this. I probably didn't, because I wasn't part of the post game, but I was saddled with watching the Chiefs broadcast, and these guys like I tweeted my displeasure of this multiple times, because even rewatching the game, it was like I missed complete plays because they're interviewing some, you know, Chiefs guy on the sideline. They don't even have like a picture in picture. They're not even cutting back to the play on the field and just having the audio of the guy talking or whatever. No, it is just like this guy's mug on the screen, and I'm missing plays, and I'm like, this is just totally annoying me. But their broadcast, Ari, whatever his name is, and Trent Green, Gag. They were completely complaining and whining and crying about the touchdown that stood, which is weird from the Jesse Caught It referee, Tony Corrente. You'd expect nothing less from him, right?
Right.
And he had like a smirk on his face, because more than likely, like a year before, that's not a catch. It was like up on his shoulder pads and then kind of hit the ground. And they were trying to say it moved or whatever. But, you know, once you have... it's a different situation even than Jesse, because Jesse wasn't in the end zone yet. Johnson's in the end zone and has already secured it. So now what do we do? Are we doing like a timer to see, you know, how many seconds he maintains possession of it in order to say – it's basically once it's a catch and breaks the plane – if he drops the ball, I think after that, you know, like he holds it for 1-2 seconds and then just tosses it to the side, it's a touchdown. So I don't know what these guys were really complaining about, but I was still kind of surprised, because I expected Corrente to not call that correctly or at all. Who knows? He's a hater. But anyway, we got to see Deontay Johnson. We got to see James Washington. Who else is there? There's still Eli Rogers is around on there. I think they already know what they got with Eli Rogers and Ryan Switzer. I think that's why it's been quiet during camp. And then, of course, Deontay Spencer, who's kind of fighting for maybe a role somewhere on the team, too. So the wide receivers are relatively deep, and the referees still stink.
Yeah, I can't – look, I feel like I am already in mid-season form with that particular hashtag because – it's been so bad. And I really do feel like it's going to be taken to a new level with this ability to review OPI and DPI and just pass interference in general. It makes my head spin just already thinking about it because I am befuddled and not bemused by the idea of how the pass interference reviews are going to go. I have very little faith in the refs to begin with. I don't think that they do a tremendously good job. We've had some retirements and we had some new folks, and that makes you hope, right, that they'll be better. But I don't see that happening.
Well, hold on. I understand the, you know, it's always tough with the officials. You get guys, rules change, and, you know, you've been accustomed to calling it one way, and now you got to change gears. But those are guys that are veterans, and they have experience, and just like players, now you're bringing in referees that are rookies or first-time guys that haven't experienced certain things before and have different pressures or maybe aren't as comfortable in this role yet or as secure. And sometimes, you know, the new blood, it's like they could come in and it'd just be like, you know, like a first-round draft pick. Like, let's say like a Devin Bush, and it totally looks like he fits the role. And then sometimes it could be a complete bust too. So, yeah, you can't count on that happening. You can't count on the new guys being better by any means just because it's a new guy.
Yeah, I the refs, until I see them again on Sunday, I'm over them for the moment. But if I go back and watch the review of that game, it'll just fire me up. I don't want to be fired up midweek for the refs.
Oh, I'm just going to keep grinding your gears then, buddy. It's going to be DPI, OPI, and IMPO'd.
Yes, that's exactly, there you go. That's exactly what it's going to be. Whether, no matter which case it's going to be, it's going to end up with IMPO'd.
We just got a new hashtag.
Hashtag the refs stink, hashtag IMPO'd. You talked about the receiver group, and I am really encouraged. I think, there's a level of discouragement, or that's not even a word. you know, I'm making up a new word, discouragement. Instead of being encouraged, I'm discouraged.
How dare you guys not talk about football? Get back on course.
I know. I'm sorry. I got to get back. Anyway, that, you know, Moncrief's first catch ends up in a fumble. Vance's, you know, first catch ends up in a fumble. Juju doesn't actually get any catches. But again, you know, it's early, and it was a very limited, scope, so to speak. I don't think Vance was in much more than one series. Juju was only in a couple. I think Dante Moncrief was only in one. And I expect those guys to look better on Sunday with Ben playing. This is, if you want to react, and even then, remember, it's still going to be very vanilla. But if you want to react, this is the week to go, you know, to look at it and start to have a good judge of what this offense is really going to look like moving forward into the season. But James Washington, you know, people keep saying over and over again, oh, he did this last year and then he disappeared. He did, but he didn't.
Yeah.
There's a difference in the swagger. There's a difference in the confidence level that you see from him. There's a difference in the way he seems to be approaching different aspects of it. It's not the same guy we saw last year. I think he has definitely made some improvements, and I expect him to make hay, so to speak. Now, whether I get this right or not most of the season, be it Deontay Spencer or Deontay Johnson, or Deontay Moncrief, even though it's just Dante.
That's going to be like the Killer Bees. It's going to be the Killer Deontays.
Killer D's. It's going to be the Killer D's. I think I was really – it's interesting to see Deontay Johnson get out there, and even though it's against a lower tier of competition because of when he was playing in the game, he looked good. He's crisp. And if you go back and you watch the game at all again and replay and watch just some of the routes that he runs, you start to understand why people are excited about Deontay Johnson. He's crisp, he's clear, and yes, there is a reminiscence of Helmet Boy with him.
Yeah.
Because similar size, similar type of receiver. And you can see that they expect to use him in similar ways. But I think in relative terms, this does not mean he will become the receiver that Helmet Boy made himself into over time, because that's going to depend on his work ethic and what he's willing to put into it. But I think he's actually ahead of where Helmet Boy was coming into the league. He looks more natural and looks like he's more ready. But again, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe he'll get some snaps in with the first group in this game. That would be interesting to see. But I expect I'm just really encouraged overall with the receiver group, and that bodes well for the season.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with everything you said there, and it's just, yeah, James Washington didn't necessarily disappear. I understand. That was kind of what I was thinking with the Dobbs thing too. I'm like, did he throw a pass somewhere where he thought someone was supposed to be too? You know, those type of things happen, especially when you're playing with you know, players who've only been around for like camp. You know, that's basically their experience, second game ever, and you know, how many snaps do they play when they're not playing even like a full preseason game? So I was kind of thinking that too in some cases, and it's like, you know, you saw Washington go up and get that one ball that Dobbs threw like 40 yards or whatever, and it's like those are the type of plays he's capable of making, and we've seen that happen in camp quite frequently with Big Ben. So I'm going to be excited to see the wide receivers. I know a lot of people are somewhat freaking out about tight ends, and you know, Vance McDonald's a little dinged up. I think the real what injuries are there? There's just Hayden and Vance McDonald at this point, I think. I know Vince Williams had like a hamstring or something last week. I think they were just like babying him along, and there was like something with the shoulder with Bush, and they just held him off. And we'll talk about the defense here in a few moments, but tight end, it's just like the Steelers are so like ridiculously deep at like every position. I think everyone just expects them to have like a Pro Bowl caliber. Standard is the standard, right? And when it comes to players, and you know, I've been talking about like you know, Tunch and Wolf always talk about their camp phenoms, and I guess mine has been Kevin Rader, and I saw him throw a nice block or two. I think one was an end round with – it was one of the Deontays, of course, and now I'm starting to confuse them. Thanks to you. I wasn't confusing them until you started confusing me. But, you know, I saw a nice block there, and I think if he's like – you know, Tomlin was specifically asked about this, and he said, you know, he likes his physicality. We have to work on the minutiae. And I think they have to work on the minutiae. New show with Gentry too was also sat out. I was impressed with him the first preseason game, and I think when you're looking at the tight ends, everyone's freaking out. It's like, okay, if Vance McDonald is, you know, down and out, we know Vance McDonald's the man, all right? He's the Vannibal. Right. He's the Mack truck. So Vance McDonald's out. I mean, this is what every team faces. Okay, if your starter's out, what do you have up next? Not necessarily the same level quality guy, but you're hoping somebody that can plug and play, and that's what you're hoping Xavier Grimble does, but he hasn't, like, he still shows the same kind of inconsistency at times, but he's a veteran and he's been around. Do you bypass that and go with guys that have never, you know, played an actual regular season down yet as the backups? I don't know. I think Gentry's floor, it was Jesse James's ceiling. I think he looks like Jesse James. And, you know, a lot of people were kidding about that, similar size and things of that nature. But overall, I mean, I just see it. I see maybe a little bit more upside. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Vance McDonald upside, but I think he has the potential to grow and do some things. I think Rader could be in line for a practice squad job unless they decide to move and do something when it comes with Grimble. But they got Grimble under a year contract. There's no real reason to move on. And the main reason they probably would do something like that is if they see another release or cut from somewhere else, you know, from another team, and they like that guy better and they're going to bring him on, you know, at the end of the preseason when they finally trimmed down to the 53-man rosters. That's the only spot that I see. And people were already speculating about some names. It's funny to see some of the names because it's like guys that were just drafted this year. Why would a team move on from somebody like that? If there's like somebody that's like a fourth-round draft pick that somebody took just back in May, I don't think they're giving up on that guy. They already invested some capital in him, no matter how bad that he might be. He's going to stick around for like two seasons, maybe and get a third training camp before they decide to move on. They're just not going to, out of the blue, cut a guy because they needed a tight end and they spent, you know, like a mid round, a day two pick or something on it. So I think that's kind of nonsense. I think it's going to have to be like, and these teams know this. You know, I was actually, because of the Chiefs feed, I was listening to their GM talk, and they pay attention to traditionally how many number of players at each position teams keep. And we've seen Kevin Colbert keep 5 wide receivers or 6 wide receivers or 8 linebackers or 10 linebackers or 9 offensive linemen. And they mix and mash all these things. Sometimes he keeps, like, you know, almost like 2 fullbacks when they had Will Johnson and Rosie Nix, I believe, at the same time, or even David Johnson as like kind of an H-back and a tight end, or he was like maybe the fourth guy on that depth chart as far as a tight end that was a versatile kind of player. And, you know, they do these kind of things. So they know, you know, there's like a list. They know who may become available. And they also talked about the teams, you know, when it comes to waiver wire priority, if they feel that somebody's ahead of them and will end up taking a player that's going to end up getting cut, then they have to pick up the phone and maybe offer like a late round draft pick, like a 6 or a 7, in order to kind of conditional maybe to prioritize and get that player that they need or want to kind of, you know, round out their own roster. So we're going to see some tweaks too, maybe with a player or two added, or maybe the Steelers trade someone at the very end of this process. So I'm like, don't freak out about the tight end position just yet, because they, all these GMs know. It was great insight because they know, they have an idea. You know, they all talk to each other. They all have an idea. Now, they don't know exactly who's available or who may be there. They have like, you know, they have an educated guess like we do. We know there's already so many spots, probably like 48 maybe, that are like locked up for sure. But they also know, hey, they pick up the phone. Hey, Kevin, you got any like DBs you're thinking, well, these 4 guys are guys, you know, that might be on the cusp here. And that's about all. They're not going to say which one's definitely available or which one's, you know, they're going to release or anything like that. It's just an idea. They float an idea over. And then that's how these deals happen behind closed doors. So, you know, don't freak out about some of these positions. I think that's the big one. I think tight end, maybe safety. But, I mean, I think they, you know, we'll talk about Cam Kelly and I think they really like what they got there, and they're not worried about that right now. The rest of it's pretty much rounded out. And you even see, like, the Ravens, like, what? They just traded a kicker because, it's like, Justin Tucker's not going anywhere. They got this other guy in camp that was doing really well. And who was that? Was that the Jets that wasn't doing well? Is that who traded for him? I'm trying to remember who traded for the kicker now, and I don't remember. But anyways, it's like those are the type of things that end up happening because they know that the kicker's not going to stick around, and the team that ended up trading was fearful that some other team may end up, you know, grabbing them first. If you're like 20th in the waiver priority, which is based on the way you finished, it's like the draft round order. So, you know, the Cardinals are at the very top of the pecking order, and if they need like that player, they're going to be first. So if you're down there at like 12, just like the Steelers moving up to get Devin Bush from 20 to 10 in the draft, that's what you kind of have to do to make these deals. So don't forget about the tight end situation. I think it'll solve itself in due time.
Yeah, it was the Vikings, by the way.
Oh, the Vikings, yes.
Vikings got the kicker from the Ravens. The tight end position, the only thing that would concern me, and, you know, I did give Xavier Grimble a little bit of grief after the game because he sort of alligator arm, short arm to pass across the middle. And as I said to Tina, and I'll say this to you as well, you know, you can't be the guy who says the season before, I'm going to plow a guy over because I'm going to dominate and get in the end zone, and then the next year go, whoa, I gotta watch out. Yeah, I might get cocked over the middle.
yeah, you know? Exactly.
You can't be that guy. You gotta pick one or the other. And hopefully it's, I'll take the aggressiveness over the timidness. You know, so we'll see how that goes. The only reason the tight end position is you know, if this injury to Vance McDonald was something that they felt was long term, then you can be a little worried, because I don't believe you can go into the season with Xavier Grimble as your number one for any extended period of time. As a temporary holdover for a game or two, sure, but not for an extended period of time. But you're absolutely right. Nobody is 100% certain what the tight end room is going to look like at the end of the fourth preseason game going into the first regular season game, because all of a sudden a half a jillion tight ends are going to be available on the market. And whether or not the Steelers are interested in one of those tight ends could still happen. It wouldn't be all that surprising for a trade to occur. You know, this is, what is it, two seasons in a row, Colbert has pulled some kind of trade, either right at the beginning of the season or in preseason, Vance McDonald being one of those guys and Ryan Switzer being another. So the Steelers are not going to sit pat. If this is a real concern to them, they'll do something to work on it. And I do agree with you about Zach Gentry. I was unfortunate that he was dinged up and could not play in that second preseason game. I'm hoping I don't know what his status is right now. I don't know if he's gotten back in practice or not. I should look before I speak about it, but hopefully he can play in this preseason game.
Yeah, we don't have like any official injury reports that I've seen. The most we could glean from right at this moment is just, you know, the after practice kind of short, you know, what, 3 to 5 minute talks that Tomlin has with the press. So
yeah.
I think he was only asked about Hayden, I think, and maybe McDonald most like yesterday or most recently. So he just keeps saying with both of those guys, I think, day to day.
Day to day.
Yep. So, yeah, anyway, sorry to interrupt you there, Brian. I was just, you know, I don't know if we're going to really talk about offensive line. They've been shuffling the deck a lot with that, and maybe we see the guys in there. Maybe we see Filer at right tackle this time, finally. They've been, you know, kind of messing around with, you know, Zach Banner or Chuck Okorafor or Gerald Hawkins, and thinking there may be somebody else in that mix, too, besides Filer. They've been playing Filer like a guard, and they've been sitting, you know, basically Villanueva and DeCastro and Pouncey and some of those guys. Big Al played last week, too, which I wasn't really expecting, but I think they're trying to test out different things to make sure they have their guy at right tackle. And I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how comfortable they feel with Filer. I mean, Filer was another one of these guys that moved from guard to tackle, you know what I mean? And he didn't necessarily have like a bad year at all last year in place of Marcus Gilbert. But I also, you know, if you could improve, you can improve. And, you know, there's another thing I think about, too, is when I look at the teams that the Steelers have been playing, I think that's where you really need to look for cuts, too. So who do we have so far? The Bucks, the Chiefs, and then the Titans are coming up in the Panthers. And it almost seems like, you know, Villanueva, what? He came off of the Eagles because Tomlin saw him across the field on one of these preseason games. And they brought in guys like, what, Jordan Todman, I think, came over from the Panthers that was released at the end of, you know, the preseason from there. And there's a few examples like that. So it's the guys that they're watching film of or they get to see firsthand. They're evaluating, too. They're evaluating the other team and saying, well, you know what, that guy becomes available. Kobe Hamilton's another example, too, came from the Panthers. So, I mean, these are the type of things that happen. I don't know. I don't want to talk much more about offense because we're, you know, starting to get into the later portion of the show here, and we need to get to the defense. And if there was anything that jumped off the page, it was definitely the defense last week. Maybe everyone proclaiming that Blitzberg or the Steel Curtain or whatever is back. These guys are going to need a different nickname, obviously, because they fly around the field. We got to see Mark Barron a little more than usual, which was nice. It was a very pleasant surprise. No Vince Williams, no Devin Bush, no Joe Hayden. I think those were the three guys that basically sat out. I think the rest of the starters were out there. We saw Hayward. We saw Tuitt. We saw Hargrave. The outside linebackers, we saw Bud Dupree tear it up. TJ Watt was out there too. And then you had your secondary with Artie Burns, who, you know, was way above the line. I was like, hey, I was telling everybody, watch this. Now he's got to continue doing that. He's got to build on it. You can't go and say, well, I did it. I had a good game. And then that's it. You know what I mean? Because then that's how you, you know, you end up off the team. So, but I mean, the people keep asking that. It's like, stop that. You didn't hear Steven Nelson's name because the guy, like I said, he's covers people. He's like a glove. And then Terrell Edmonds forcing the fumble and Sean Davis out there. And these guys are highly aware. Oh, and Ulysses Gilbert, who Tomlin slipped and called Ulysses Grant. So again, we get a pass on that. But we could say this many times now since Coach screwed it up. But it's just funny. It's like, you know, how that sticks in your head, something like that, and then you can't get it out. But Ulysses Gilbert has had an excellent preseason so far. So, I mean, you got to see quite a bit of him because of the inside linebacker, you know, situation and nursing some injuries or dings and dents and making sure, you know, guys are ready for week one. But I mean, the increased emphasis, the point of emphasis, there's always going to be a point of emphasis. And this year has been turnovers, splash plays. These are the things the Steelers did not have. Coincidentally, these are the things that the Cleveland Browns did have. And it seems like, you know, it's something that maybe isn't necessarily in your control, but it's like playing the lottery. You can't win unless you play. So yeah, they've been going after the ball like crazy in camp. They've been working on a jugs machine before and after. So we saw a product of that. I don't know if this is like Terrell Austin and some of the changes with the coaching staff too, you know, Keith Butler taking over, you know, back with the outside linebackers and the, you know, the added presence of an extra DB coach and a guy who's been a defensive coordinator and has held wore very many hats around the NFL and Terrell Austin. I don't know if that helps with all of this progress, but we saw that product. We saw the cause and the effect here in that second preseason game. And we didn't even have all of the starters on the field. So this is going to be even more exciting to see if Devin Bush and Vince Williams, I don't know that Joe Hayden will necessarily be out there, but he says day to day. I mean, it's going to be Sunday, so he's got a few more days maybe. Maybe you see the full complement of everyone, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the Titans team is going to be like this year. I kind of have them in the middle, like as average, or maybe they could be above or below, maybe. I don't know. So this will be a good test, I think, to really see what the Steelers' defense might look like. And I think this is going to be really exciting because I think if everyone was already, like, their eyes open, I mean, I've been you know, banging my drum about Edmonds, too. If you thought your eyes were open then, wait till we get the other guys on the field, because everyone's eyes were wide open with Devin Bush in week one, and he wasn't playing out there with a lot of his colleagues. Now insert him into the defense that was looking good last week, and holy cow, I mean, the expectations, I think the expectations are going to be greater for this defense, and hopefully they live up to it, because you know what, not getting those, you know, fumbles and interceptions and stuff last season, That hurt them about as much as anything, especially when the offense was turning over the ball and you had Ben lead the league in interceptions. You gotta flip that script around, so to speak.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. This will be the first. Mahomes is a somewhat mobile quarterback and can move and scramble. But he's not. I guess probably not at the same level as a Marcus Mariota. And we'll probably see a good deal of Marcus Mariota. So it'll be interesting to see how they can contain that. I look to see the defensive line play elevate. I look to see both Bud and TJ improve on the start that they had because I am, as Coach Tomlin said, it looks like they could become a very dynamic combination. And I'm looking forward to that. I want to see Bud Dupree especially continue to build off of a solid game. You know, a more than solid game, really quite an excellent game by Bud last week. Mm-hmm. I want to see him build off of that, maintain the kind of controlled rush he had as opposed to getting, you know, wiped out of plays and over pursuing things and, you know, being ineffective. I want to see the same kind of performance this week, and that'll start to convince a lot of people that maybe this is a double-digit sack year for Bud Dupree. And that all that does is benefit the Steelers. You know, even if they decide not to try and re-sign Bud at the end of the season because he's going to become too expensive if he blows up, you know, it still helps them this year. Doesn't matter. I'll take it. Whatever we get.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, unfortunately, he's getting kind of ripped up over a quote that he said about, you know, if I would have made all of my sacks, And then they would have been talking about me, and TJ is like one of the top pass rushing duos in the NFL. And then of course somebody said, if you know my aunt had this, she'd be my uncle, and a lot of things like that. You know, if I had this, then I'd be a doctor. And then you know, it was everybody just kind of went to town on that. But I mean, I understand it's kind of like the same thing with, you know, we're talking about the Steelers defense just getting turnovers in general, and maybe some of these changes, maybe Butler being more hands on, maybe it not being Joey Porter. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, the defensive coordinator, he's got to manage all of these things too. And, you know, maybe just an added, I don't know, maybe an added emphasis, I should say, because it's always like an emphasis. So Keith Butler is definitely an emphasis on the outside linebackers this year, because he's taken over that group again, in addition to his defensive coordinator responsibilities. And this is nothing different. A lot of people are going to be like, wow, this. Don't take this the wrong way. There's an emphasis all the time, whether it's tackling 1 year or penalties 1 year, and they bring in referees. There's always going to be an emphasis on something. That's just the way it works. We got to improve on this, because you have this, for the most part, you have the same nucleus or group of guys for like a window of anywhere from 3 to 5 years, average, you know, career span in the NFL. And you're going to have to, you know, you're going to recycle some things and then have to go back. You know, hopefully tackling isn't an issue again anytime soon, but you just never know when these things creep up. And then you got to improve. You got to improve on what you're working on from the previous year. So what are you going to emphasize? We're going to emphasize turnovers. And I don't know if you can emphasize sacks. This is the reason I don't get all over Bud Dupree, and it's because the team's been leading in sacks regardless. So as a unit, and he's out there, you know, 90% of the game usually, he's one of the 11 guys, he must be doing something right that allows somebody else to get to the quarterback. They just need to get the turnovers. That's about the biggest thing that's been missing here. So, I mean, they're facing the Titans. I mean, what, Derrick Henry, Marcus Mariota, I guess Delanie Walker's been working his way back in as far as a tight end, so we might see, you know, some, you know, what they do in coverage there. Who else do they have? Corey Davis, one of the young wide receivers. Adam Humphries that came over from the Bucks. So I think the defense, you know, that'll be a suitable test there to see what they're doing should the Titans play all of their ones. And then as far as their defense, I know they've got some different pieces there that should challenge the Steelers' offense as well.
Yeah, I look, I mean, if they play, if we get a good solid quarter out of the starting units on both teams, I think that's going to give us a real indication of where the Steelers are right now. You know, I always feel funny saying that about any preseason game, again, because it's preseason. It's not every trick in the book. It's not heavily game planned at all. It's to work on specific things that they want to work on, and they're not really paying attention to what the defense will or will not do. Game planning is very minimal. So even saying we'll get a good sense of it, it feels weird to me. But it's as close as we're going to get out of the preseason to get a sense of what the regular season could look like. I think it would be very nice to see the offense exert itself, make it, you know, come onto the field with authority. Make its presence known and basically, you know, let people know, hey, guess what? Just because Helmet Boy isn't here and we're not worrying about the old 26 because he wasn't here last year anyway, we're still somebody that needs to be contended with. And the same aspect, I think Vince Williams is also still hurt. I could be wrong. So he may not play. But it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with the inside linebackers. Are we going to get Devin Bush and Mark Barron on the field at the same time? And what does that speed do to that defense? Because it's the one thing that has come across is that this defense is fast.
Yeah,
much faster than it's been in years past. And maybe even faster than it was when Ryan Shazier was healthy and playing, you know, because there's speed in more places. It's not just there. So I'm looking forward to this game in a lot of ways, just to see. I wish it wasn't Sunday night. I wish it wasn't Chris Collinsworth. I'm dreading that. I don't know whose nutsack he's going to be on over the during this game, but it'll be
Mariota.
Somebody.
It'll be Mariota, no doubt. Yeah. Or
it won't be anybody in the black and gold, that's for sure.
It never is. I mean, that's just the way, you know, he operates. He was a Bengal, the Bengals.
Yes, he was.
He's going to be salivating over Mike Vrabel more than likely. That's going to be
probably.
That my pick there. So, yeah, it'll be pretty interesting. I don't know. There isn't a whole lot else to pick apart or preview when it comes to the game because it's more or less, you know, these are the individuals or the type of things we want to see as far as schemes and units. And we're getting very vanilla with a lot of this stuff because the Patriots probably already have spy cams all over, you know, the Southside complex and everything. So, it still boils my blood. And you're going to get that again in a couple of weeks here, Brian. It's going to be Collinsworth again. Sunday night, it's going to be all raising the banner and Super Bowl, gah, 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 you know, throw it in my mouth. Yeah, vomit. I may cough up an intestine. So it's just bad. I hate that, but I think that's going to fire them up. I think they're looking at the bigger picture. They don't really have to look ahead at New England because that is that's who is ahead. So it's kind of, you know, maybe a better thing. You know, I don't want to dive off into that yet, but. But, you know, we'll talk about that shortly, too. So speaking of the Sunday night airtime, I don't know. We may be crazy enough to do something that late at night where we're loopy and still half awake. Or we'll catch everyone again, you know, maybe earlier in the week with some type of review of that game. And then looking ahead to who's going to be winning jobs and stuff like that. Because, you know, the final game, short week, they go from Sunday to Thursday and play at Carolina. A little bit of a bus trip there. I actually think they fly, but, you know, it's not that far. They always play the Panthers pretty much every preseason. Usually the final game too, and that's one of their regulars on the schedule. So you know, we'll be talking about that too, because based on the performance in this game, then that's going to be okay, let me see a little more of this guy, a little more of this guy and stuff like that. But just one more piece of news to note, LaVon Hooks got hurt. What was it, torn Achilles? Yep. And it just says, well, Tom Pelissero is the one who reported this, Achilles injury in practice and out for the season, per a source. He did not mention the source. Hooks has been around for a few camps. He's been on the practice squad. Maybe somebody that may have worked his way, you know, onto the 53. You know, there was still a vacancy there on with the defensive line with LT Walton not being re-signed. But now he has been waived, released, probably with injury designation, and the Steelers have signed a different linebacker here. Let me see, Jayrone Elliott, who was with the Green Bay Packers as an undrafted free agent out of Toledo back in 2014. So, wow. Yeah, he's been around. He's been in 38 regular season games over three-year tenure with them. And then he had stints, it says here, this is from the Steelers, you know, communications or their PR department. He was with the Dallas Cowboys in 2017 and Saints in 2018. So he's going to come to camp, and I don't know, is this going to mix some things up? Is this because some other guys are dinged up and they need an extra body for some drills and stuff like that? You know, coming in this late, I mean, you just never know. You know, there's been some guys like that. I want to say maybe Steven Johnson was even somebody like that who kind of crept up out of nowhere, but he may have been somebody who was signed in the offseason too, so don't quote me on that one. But there's somebody like that that's, you know, kind of in mind, and they keep a lot of linebackers for all these different schemes, special teams and things of that nature. So we're going to see how this all works out, how this all comes together. But so far so good. It looks promising. We don't have to talk about, you know, all these stupid silly storylines of Steelers losing preseason games and stuff like that, at least, because that's probably the most annoying one. So, you know, hey, they're still coming out on the, even with them, you know, mixing up the rosters and stuff, they've still been coming out on the W end of the win loss column there. So,
yep.
Aside from that, aside from me saying ums and so's, I think it's about time to wrap it up, because what else is there to talk about when it comes to this preseason game? I think we nailed the big ones. We'll see what the quarterback situation's like. We'll see if the defense keeps it going. We'll see if the wide receivers wow us as I expect them to. And I'm hoping to see some Benny Snell football. That's the only thing that's been missing so far.
Yeah, I'll agree with everything you just said. And One more caveat to that. I want to see more Ulysses Gilbert.
Yeah, and we just might see that. And you know what? There could be less. It's like more cowbell, more Gilbert.
Yeah, definitely. More cowbell.
I'm definitely down with it, man. I'm telling you, if they may have hit twice on this draft with both Bush and Gilbert as far as their future there. And that would be absolutely amazing if they did, I'll tell you. And, you know, Vince Williams is always like trying to keep his role and keep his spot. And I know he's under contract for a little while. So one of these guys being in reserve or depth piece could eventually move up the same way that Vince Williams did, you know, further down the road, you know. Guys get older and retire and things of that nature. So I'm not saying he's going to lose a spot or anything like that. It would just be nice to know that you have something there and you don't have to pluck a guy off the street like Sean Spence. God, and I feel bad saying that about him because he was such a great story. He ripped up his knee and it took him 2 years. He rehabbed and worked his way back in the NFL. And, you know, it didn't work out for whatever reasons. Maybe it was because of that injury or whatever. He was a guy I was excited to see. And I hate even, like, you know, disparaging his good name, but he's just the example of, you know, he's just an example of a guy that came off the street. It just so happens to be him. So I hate ripping him apart. You know me, man. I'm always trying to be positive. So, Brian, thanks for joining me once again today.
Always a pleasure. Good to have my brother from another brother back in the broadcast booth, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You are like my Tony Romo. So, ooh, is that one okay? I think we hate almost everybody. I didn't call you Phil Sims.
I'm not a Tony Romo fan.
I did not call you Phil Sims. Phil Sims bothers me more than Collins.
That would be way worse. Do not call me Phil Sims.
Yeah, that would be. That would be terrible. I wouldn't do that to, you know, anyone. That's just wrong. So, that would set off World War III in some countries. So anyways, until next time, my name is Joe. His name is Brian. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And we always encourage our listeners to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.